When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday. On Wednesday?
It's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
What we feel like is a great opportunity to turn the page.
We just haven't been able to, like, turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page.
There I go.
Better believe it, we're an hour late, but that's because the game has moved back a day. No more buys in the NFL. Everyone's on the docket this week, including the Bears, who are going to conclude this week playing the Vikings on Monday Night Football.
It's the Vikings for the second time in just a couple of weeks, and you remember what happened last time, but this is going to be different. Why? It's on Monday night, and it's the third annual winter whiteout game for the Vikings. The all-white uniforms will be worn, and for the first time ever, the Vikings will use white helmets. The first ever not purple helmet in the history of the Minnesota Vikings.
Those
on Monday night.
Those white helmets look good.
So there you go. You got that to look forward to. The other thing you have to look forward to is a Vikings offense that's on fire. 347 yards for Sam Darnold, a career high. Sam Darnold was waving a towel as fans chanted MVP at the end of that game.
He's going to get votes.
Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison became the first players in franchise history to both have 100 receiving yards and two touchdowns in the same game.
NFC Offensive Player of the Week, by the way, Sam Darnold.
Tied,
some respect on that man's name.
He's tied for third in the NFL with 28 touchdown passes. He's got almost 3,300 passing yards, a quarterback rating of 108.1. Dude's on fire. The offense is ninth in points, 11th in yards, 10th in third downs, 7th best in turnover margin. And the offensive architect, the head coach, Kevin O'Connell, sounds like a great leader, too, in postgame.
Hey, those two questions that I asked you guys last night that I know we always ask, Matt Daniels is always asking in the kicking game every single week. All right, what are those two questions again? I can't remember.
Who are we and what are we about?
Who are we and what are we about? All right. I would say right there, all right, is what this team is capable of doing. All right, even when it's not perfect, even when sometimes things don't go your way, snap after snap, I never, ever, ever feel like you guys aren't going to kick through that brick wall and go find a way. And then when you have some of the performances we had, that I mentioned how special individual groups are on this team that collectively have come together the way you guys have. I mean, fellas, we got a chance to be a special, special football team. Championship football teams have characteristics that every now and again, all right, you got to lean into different phases of your team. Today, behind our quarterback, two receivers, the offensive line stepping up, our offense, it should look like that every week. It really should. And that's the standard that you guys just went out and set. Fellas, we've got a week coming up in the division.
Shut up.
Where we get an opportunity to go 1-0. We get an extra day.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we've got to continue to keep working.
Whatever.
We got to continue to keep grinding. Every single day has got to be the standard that you guys all admitted last night lives in this team. It's ingrained in the fabric of this team.
Jesus.
Results, how great it is to see the success and joy. I already told you it's my why. But now you're going to feel what it's like to go chase it. Really chase it. really chase what's something that a lot of us in this league don't get to chase. And we are right there. All right, but one day at a time for the rest of the way, and I promise you guys, you will look back on this as the most special team you've ever been a part of in your life. You're capable of it. Let's go to work. I love this team. 1-0 today, fellas.
What the hell, man? What the hell? The thing is, though, Eberflus had a list. You know what I'm saying? Matt had a list. There were no lists involved in Kevin O'Connell's stirring postgame. Whatever.
If I tell you you could have him right now, what would you say?
Please, could have had him 3 years ago.
Hey, fellas, real quick, let's go to our list. Let's see how we did.
Ooh, let's go. I forget what player that is in the background going, ooh, let's go. All right, coach.
I believe that was Deontay Foreman.
Let's go to our list. Stirring stuff. Meanwhile, the Vikings defense is the fifth best in the NFL in scoring. They're second in rushing yards allowed, which is crazy. 29th in passing yards allowed, but second in rushing yards allowed. They made five additions around the draft that have helped them a lot. Jonathan Bullard, Jerry Tillery, Jalen Redmond among them. That's two veterans, one seventh round pick, one undrafted free agent, and one from the UFL. They have cohesion in the front office. A great story by Alec Lewis in The Athletic about an underrated theme in ascending NFL organizations, which is the amount of experience a front office has with the offensive and defensive schemes that are involved. He references Brett Veach knowing Steve Spagnuolo's style, Bill Polian knowing Tony Dungy's style, and now what they have in Minnesota, where that whole front office gets people to fit O'Connell and people to fit Flores. As another former GM told him, quote, discontinuity almost always ensures failure. That reminded me of the Bears.
Oh, by the way, if we go back to Darnold for a second, to just kind of give you what the league said about him, Darnold, 22 of 28, completed 79% of his passes, 347, right? No interceptions, 157.9 passer rating in that win.
Uh-huh.
Became the ninth quarterback in NFL history and first since Aaron Rodgers in October of 2019 with at least 325 passing yards, five touchdowns, a completion percentage of 75 or higher, and a passer rating of 155 or higher with no interceptions in the game. He hadn't won Player of the Week since Week 6 of 2019.
Yeah, he's on fire. And they'll make some big decisions about the quarterback spot, but that guy is going to get MVP votes. That defense, though, is playing really, really well. I gave you the numbers, and Brian Flores, who's on fire there as a defensive coordinator, is also, of course, rumored to be a candidate for the Bears' next head coaching job, a former college teammate of Ryan Poles. Here's Brian Flores talking about the concept of joy in everything he does as a coordinator.
You know, we talk about, look, you can't play this game at a high level unless you have peace. I think you get that from your preparation. And once you get that, you can have some joy playing this game. You put those together, that's how you play at your optimum level. We talk about it, and they're certainly having a good time out there, which I love seeing that. And you know, hopefully we can keep that going. You know, as you grow and evolve as a coach, you know, really any kind of facet of your, you know, whatever industry you're in, profession you're in, I think that's just, and I think for me personally, I think it's when I'm at my best, you know, there's a sense of peace that I have that comes through preparation, that comes through experience, that comes through your relationships. You know, when you're sitting there in a room with, on a team with, you know, 52 other guys who, you know, have your back and you have theirs. I mean, there's a sense of peace that comes with that. And I think, you know, if you're not having fun playing this game then, or coaching this game, you're never going to reach your optimum level. And I don't know. I don't see how that couldn't be the case.
That is a fascinating head coaching candidate who
Sure I want to give him to my young quarterback.
He's learned some lessons. Lessons.
That's what he says. But when you go back and listen to what Tua Tagovailoa had to say about Brian Flores,
I know.
I'm not sure that I want to just turn Caleb over to Brian Flores.
Here's Brian Flores talking about what Caleb Williams showed the Vikings the last time they matched up, when Caleb was Superman in the fourth quarter up until he took a bad sack in overtime. Here's Flores.
He's very fast. That's what we all learned. Obviously, he's very, you know, he's a dynamic player. They got a lot of playmakers there. you know, between Odunze and DJ and Keenan and Swift, Kmet. They got a good O-line. They got a lot of good players there. But he is his ability to, you know, the off-script plays, the, you know, the just the quarterback mobility is a real thing. I think we all kind of felt that. You know, anyone who watched the game, and obviously anyone who played in the game on our side felt that. Tough guy to tackle, tough guy to get down. He's got kind of an innate feel for pressure in a pocket and how to avoid or evade it. And he's fast. Again, it's a major, major challenge for us. Got to do a good job of trying to keep him in the pocket. It's going to be a total team, you know, defensive effort. I was very impressed.
Take note, Bears fans. We will be using Turn the Page to not just look at the game, but Caleb Williams' development and possible future head coaching options as you are thinking about those as well.
Did you eliminate him from being a head coaching candidate when he said the Bears' offensive line was good?
No, I took that as the classic, it's got a little Lou Holtz in him.
Okay.
Right there.
I was just curious because, you know.
I didn't take it seriously. But I understand the question. Any win by the Vikings or any loss by the Rams between now and the end of the season will put Minnesota into the postseason.
Well, I don't get it. They ain't cold,
but they're counting down 7-6-5.
They're going to make the playoffs for the second time in Kevin O'Connell's 3 years.
And what's his quarterback situation been like up there?
It's been weird, man.
It's not been great.
I mean, he had Cousins. Now Cousins has 15 interceptions after having two more of them against the Vikings.
Seems like they might have been right on time with saying, you know what we shouldn't do? Give $100 million to a quarterback who tore his Achilles.
And they might make a similar financial decision with Darnold.
It's funny how that should probably eliminate you from giving $100 million to a quarterback with a torn Achilles. But it seems to be a thing in the NFL where you just give $100 million to a quarterback with a torn Achilles.
Just hand over the franchise, Jets. It's clearly working. More losses for Aaron Rodgers than Zach Wilson. But there are the Vikings as we turn the page. Now we look to the North.
Boy, do we have a game of the year candidate for you inside the division.
Possible Super Bowl pre-match here.
There it is, Speaks. Sunday at 3:25, the Bills are going to take on the Lions, the 12-1 Lions taking on the 10-3 Bills. And you're right, it could be a preview of two teams that could find themselves in the Super Bowl. And seeing this matchup makes all of us giddy because you go, man, we get to see perhaps the MVP and looking like the rootinest, tootinest, toughest hombre in the league go up against the best team in the NFL. Here's what Dan Campbell had to say about that matchup.
We are in playoff football in a sense. And, you know, I know that we got in, but this is about more than that. You know, we've given ourselves an opportunity postseason, which is great, man. It's all you need. And so we've got that. But, man, anytime you play, you know, the best of the best competition, you can't help but get better. And whatever it takes to win those games, you learn how to win those games. You learn a new way to win. Like we had to grind some things out the other day, you know. We had to win that game without our run game really being effective at all for the most part. That's huge. That meant our pass protection had to be on point. Goff was outstanding. The receivers, tight ends, the backs, you know. Protection. I mean, David and Gibbs having to mount up in there. We got a lot of A-gap pressure, and those guys were, you know, that's not an easy way to live if you're, you know, you're the runners. So that serves you well. Like, I think, so the competition is great. You know, there again, Green Bay, and then we got Buffalo this week. We got more coming down the wire. So these serve you well, I believe.
Well, it should, considering that last week kind of felt like a playoff game, too. Detroit and Green Bay on Thursday night was everything we had hoped it would be, including Dan Campbell doing Dan Campbell stuff and going for it. And did you see that now that the mic'd up came out this week? He was planning on that fourth down where they went for it and made it to kick the field goal. Goff came over to the sideline and was like, I really want to go for it. Campbell was like, screw it. Go back out there.
Oh, man.
We're going for it.
That's exactly why you, man, that's what you dream of, that the aggressive mindset from the top down gets into the quarterback, and then you let it reflect back. Wow,
that's
amazing.
They didn't send the field goal unit on the field and then take them off the field without telling anyone about it?
And then have Goff have to, like, hustle blindly for the last 15 seconds and nearly take a penalty?
Nope.
Have your special teams coordinator be like, oh, they didn't tell us.
We didn't know what was going on over there.
Have the special teams coordinator claim accountability, but it wasn't really even his fault necessarily?
Not really his fault, although your team should be prepared. Let's not completely let him off the hook.
God, the NFL.
Let him off the hook.
The NFL would be so much cooler if the Bears weren't in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these games, all this cool stuff.
Don't worry, Spiegs. In about 4 weeks, they won't be. But the rest of the teams in the NFC North will be in all of this, including Green Bay. Green Bay has a playoff-like matchup this week, too. They are taking on the Seattle Seahawks.
Damn. Some good games, man. Rams-Niners on Thursday night, and Seahawks-Packers for NFC wild card positioning, possibly.
Yeah, man. And it's another island game for Matt LaFleur. Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur, and the Packers.
We're looking no further than what we have in front of us. Obviously, a team, I think they've won, what, four in a row. Going to Seattle is always a chore. I mean, that is a tough place to play. I think they got a lot of talented players. I think Mike's done a great job of just, you know, they're playing good football and really in every phase. So it's gonna be a great challenge for us.
Seattle has been fantastic the last few weeks. They are now sitting on top of the NFC West. It's still crowded, though.
Oh, yes.
Seattle 8-5, Rams 7-6. That was a huge win for the Rams last week.
Uh-huh.
Arizona 6-7, and the 49ers still in last place at 6-7 after the ass-kicking that they gave the Bears.
But the Niners, if the Niners run the table, they can still win the division.
They sure can.
So, I mean, that whole thing is
David Eckstein.
It's interesting and up for grabs.
David Eckstein's in on it too, I think.
For no reason.
Gonna kick your ass at 7-10.
Now, here's the crazy part about that game last week between the Packers and the Lions. And you kind of looked at me a little bit weird when I said it on Friday.
Yeah, it wasn't just about that. In general, I look at you weird.
I get it. I'm weird looking. Jordan Love's numbers don't look great from that game.
Yeah, 12 for 20.
The volume doesn't look great.
Uh-huh.
His passer rating was 111.7. He played the smartest game of football I have ever seen him play. And that's scary.
Yeah, so really good decisions left and right.
And some of it they took out of his hands. Some of it was, we're going to run the ball with Josh Jacobs. But he also came up with two huge runs in that game. And this version of Jordan Love can make the Packers unstoppable. The question is, can they chase him into being the Favre version of Jordan Love? Yeah. What's wrong?
I'm counting three potentially unstoppable teams in the same division.
Yeah, there's going to be...
And none of them are the Bears.
So Spiegs, look, there's going to be at least two guys getting MVP votes. Neither one of them are going to win it, but they're going to get votes. All three coaches are going to get votes for Coach of the Year this year. I think Kevin O'Connell should win it, by the way. That's where I stand on that.
Mm-hmm.
I get the Mike Tomlin thing. That makes sense. I'm not mad if you vote for Mike Tomlin. What Kevin O'Connell has done in Minnesota this year.
With Darnold.
With Darnold, and with that, the whole, like, they
a patchwork
quit.
Defense. It was supposed to be a rebuilding year, and they've done this. I think you're right. I think Kevin O'Connell is that dude. That's the North. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
So Lawrence, there's two great games. I mean, there's a lot. But Bills-Lions, like you talked about, and then Steelers-Eagles is a really good and interesting game. And
Mike Tomlin calls it the Pennsylvania State Championship game.
Oh, that's tremendous. I saw this from Michael David Smith.
None of your businesses, respectfully.
That didn't feel respectful, I'm going to say.
Usually when they have to put that on the end, it's not.
It's like that being said.
Shut your ass up.
Yeah.
I love that drop.
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully.
Doesn't feel respectful.
Plural.
Mike. Yeah.
None of your businesses.
That's all of us. The last time the NFL had two different games matching up teams with double-digit wins in week 15 or earlier, like these two games, Bills-Lions and Steelers-Eagles, the last time this happened was 1985. It's the last time you had that.
You know what that means. Bears going to the Super Bowl.
13-1 Chicago Bears beat the 10-4 New York Jets that day. And the 10-4 Dolphins beat the 10-4 Patriots. So there was your Super Bowl matchup right there. Dolphins and Bears both in action the last time we had two games like this.
So, Speaks, you're right. If you look at the calendar, I mean, there are some dogs on this list too. But the week starts with Rams 49ers.
That's the second straight Thursday night must watch game. That's pretty amazing.
But then there are some dog games in here, like the fact that the Chiefs are going to play the Browns, the Cowboys and the Panthers are going to play.
Oh my God.
The Jets and the Jaguars are going to play.
No, thank you.
The Ravens get a bye week because they get the Giants, and they do need a win. The Ravens need a win. The Bengals are playing the Titans this week. But then there's some sneaky good games in here, too. Buccaneers-Chargers, Sunday afternoon.
That's an important game.
Colts-Broncos, an important game. The Pennsylvania State Championship game, for sure. And then the Bears and the Vikings. There's two Monday night games, by the way. We're back in the two Monday night game formation.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah, Falcons-Raiders is the late Monday night game.
That's a skip.
Yeah, not interested in any of those
things. You could be listening to Bears Post right here at that point. And by the way, Bears pregame on Monday is going to be right here on this show. From 5 o'clock until 6:15, Pat Manley and Olin Krutz are going to join us, Lawrence Holmes, right here on The Score. And that is your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Olin and Pat with us, Spiegel and Holmes, to get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, Olin, Pat, and Layla Rahimi. Outstanding. We'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and in the Odyssey app.
We should talk more about the North, because we were thinking about this, and the question that we're going to ask you when we come back seemingly has an easy answer.
I thought it did for me.
But I think that there is a little bit more to it. Stick around. We'll share. It's about the Bears next here on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on the Score.
Darnold, empty backfield, shotgun. And Aaron Jones goes in motion to the right. Darnold looking left, throwing left. And it's caught by Jalen Naylor at the one. Reaches for the end zone. Touchdown!
Snap the love, looking left, looks right, throws right side, and it is caught for a touchdown. Rambling end in traffic. Wow!
Long count by Goff. There's the snap. Jarrett back. Jarrett looking, throwing middle. Caught on the rock.
Oh, yeah.
Count it down. 5 end zone touchdown. Had a step on the defender, angle to the end zone, took it to the house, and the Lions add to their lead. Easy as ABC. Goff to Amon-Ra.
Yeah, I mean, they got three really good teams.
Oh! They're figuring it out up there in Chicago.
Sorry, Pat. They are not figuring it out here in Chicago, at least not right now. We want your participation in this segment, whether you're on the Twitch stream, inside the mob there. Hello, mob. Let's clean it up in there today.
Oh, all really? Right, what's happening?
Not as strong as it usually is. That's all. I said it in there, so I'm not speaking out of school, but let's clean it up a little bit.
Okay.
You know? And if you want to text the show.
We got to clean it up.
Yeah, you got to clean it up. You want to text the show on this, we would love that too at 312-644-6767.
Okay, what's the question?
The question is this, Matt Spiegel. When you look at the NFC North as a Bears fan, which franchise are you most jealous of?
The Detroit Lions.
I always figured that would be the answer.
That
it's not a bad answer.
It's my answer. But it's my answer, and I've been thinking about it since you posed it in the pre-show. It's my answer because of what they have fixed and how they did it. The hiring of Chris Spielman to become what he is. Now, he's part of their brain trust. They meet every week after the games. It's your cousin Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell and Sheila Hamp, the family owner who now has taken charge.
Hamp and Holmes are there?
Yeah, but Hamp.
Only for about 6 months.
It is. I didn't realize. It's Hamp and Holmes. They're there.
Only for about 6 months. And then...
And Chris Spielman. Did you guys ever have Spielman on the show?
Actually, you know what?
You might have.
We might have.
You might have. He was in the rotation of analysts at that time.
Hamp was really good, too. Like, every now and again, I'd be like, wait, who do you want us to call?
Mm-hmm.
What? Like, what do you mean? He owes you a favor. Oh, okay. Cool.
So that's incredible. But anyway, Chris Spielman's there every week when they meet, and it's part of everything that they do, and it's been a very good thing to have a legit football person who was media. I dream of what the Bears would do if, say, Olin Krutz was in that role, something like that.
They'll only pay Olin $15 an hour. We can't get Briggs in the linebacker room because they'll only pay him $15 an hour. Like, it's really ridiculous.
Anyway, so what they have from the top on down, for me, it's Detroit, what they have established.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't think that there are any bad answers of the three. Let me make an argument for it being the Vikings. The Vikings have a coach that has been able to adapt to the dire situation of, because what you hear people say all the time is, got to have a franchise quarterback if you're going to be competitive in the NFL. Got to have one of those guys. You got to draft him. You can't grow him. Can't coach him up. You got to draft him. He has been out here playing playoff level football, winning one score games with all sorts of quarterbacks, quarterbacks that were left for dead, quarterbacks that were out of playing football at all. And they have been able to do that. Now, granted, they've got the best wide receiver in the game, which is part of the reason that I think that they're very attractive.
But he uses that schematically brilliantly, what they do.
They also have a defensive coordinator who is at head coach level, who has convinced them on how to create an identity for themselves on defense.
And they have a front office synergy I detailed during Turn the Page, where they're acquiring players that fit both schemes beautifully.
And they have the building.
Oh, their building's just recently done.
They actually have the thing that if you're a Bears fan that you want. They've given you the template. Now, granted, the guy who helped do that, the guy who played a huge role in that, now is your president. But they have, and I think it's part of the reason that he can't let stuff go, even though the General Assembly, even today, slapped down the idea of money for the Bears and the White Sox, saying, this is not the environment for us to be giving you money. But they've got the beautiful downtown stadium that rocks. So that's my argument for it being the Vikings.
You could make an argument for the Packers, though.
I look forward to your argument. Please go ahead. Well,
because you have the decades long arrogance that you get to feel and have towards the Bears and the entire division, and you have a great young quarterback who is clearly locked and loaded contractually for years to come. You have an assortment of young wide receivers that you seem to be able to find everywhere. All these guys now in year one or two or three, like Wicks and Dobbs and Watson and Melton and Reed, all these dudes that you're able to seemingly find. And you have a really, truly brilliant head coach who knows you have to run the ball and is very creative with the way that he runs the ball. And all that does is unleash the quarterback even more. And you get to own the team, you know?
Get a little thing to put on your wall.
Get a little thing to put on your wall. I mean, you could make cases for all three.
I get it, though.
Yeah. You'd actually enjoy that if you were Bart Winkler. I assume that Bart has some ownership stake on his wall.
I'm sure he does.
He must.
I'm sure he does. So
all three of them are really
worth envy.
Yeah, they're really worth envy
for what they've done, and it just makes it feel even worse. And I apologize for that. Here's some of the answers that are coming from the mob and from the text.
Okay.
Audio Kid says the Vikings with their coach. Black Ned Flanders. I'm not even going to read this because we're not talking about the Steelers, Ned. We're talking about inside the division. CJ says Green Bay sustained success quarterback after quarterback is what I'm jealous of.
Here's some on the text line. Packers. I'm also jealous because they always hire the offensive head coach while the Bears keep hiring the defensive coaches who will take Jenny to church. Most jealous of the Packers. Not fair to go from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another and then another stud after that with no-name receivers. Last year was supposed to be a rebuilding year, and they almost went to the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's stuff like that that drives you crazy.
Packers for me, says another texter. No matter what they do, their quarterback is always better than ours.
Well, that and just over the years, you know, the Lions and the Vikings have had their ups and their downs. For the Lions, it's mostly been downs, but like, the Packers have been omnipresent. They're just there every year, perpetually 10-6, and they're always building their team correctly from the ball out. It's like over the years, whether it's Montez Sweat or Khalil Mack, it's like, why doesn't our guy have any sacks today? Because they're going up against a right tackle who you've never heard of probably, and they just keep on drafting those guys, and they're all right more often than not.
By the way, have you paid attention to what Khalil Mack has been doing this year? Him pretty good.
Yeah.
He's still pretty good. Okay. There. So there are a bunch of people that are jumping in on this, and we appreciate that. The idea that it's funny because you would think that it's a slam dunk that it would be the Lions because they're so close, and they're the team that a lot of people expect. Would you be shocked if Green Bay beat them in a playoff game?
No. I mean, the way that they just played in that game, that was an incredible game. There was a 34-31 game, and he just said Love was absolutely terrific, and it took everything that the Lions could muster. No, absolutely. It's pretty remarkable. It's pretty remarkable what is happening here with three teams that good. And I remember asking at the beginning of this year, Lawrence, like, who's going to be the sucker at the table? Like, who's going to be the team to not everybody can be good.
Like, and we kind of thought it'd be the Vikings. Because we thought that Darnold would eventually he'd get figured out. And maybe that's still coming. Maybe that's still in a playoff atmosphere. It happens. But this guy's got, what, 9 or 10 100 ratings or more games so far? Like, that's insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
That he's playing that well. And so you look at Kevin O'Connell and you go, how? How were you able to win a couple games with the Pastrnak? How were you able to take a guy that people were like, y'all going to start Sam Darnold? Good luck with that, bruh.
And then it turns into this. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
You made him rich. You've opened the door for your young quarterback to learn, to sit and learn if that's what you want to do it next year. Or if you're him, you can be confident and be like, I'll do it again. If JJ's not ready, I'll find another quarterback. And our offense won't be a problem.
Following a couple of stories that are developing, one is this. The Astros, according to John Heyman, want Isak Paredes and Seiya Suzuki and either Cam Smith or Matt Shaw from the Cubs in exchange for 1 year of Kyle Tucker.
Would you do that?
No. That is a lot. I mean, if you're going to sign Kyle Tucker, I still wouldn't do it. I wouldn't give up both Suzuki and Paredes and one of those former number one picks. That's too much. That's too much for me. I would do either Seiya and Paredes and one of the number one picks, but I would not. I couldn't do all three of that. I mean, maybe Houston will give you something back. I don't know. But so there's that. And then there's this.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Bill Belichick is finalizing the deal to start as the head coach at North Carolina. It's happening. Belichick is going to North Carolina as the head coach, and the entire football universe is reacting to that.
The whole thing is crazy.
It's where his dad was a coach in the 1950s as an assistant, and theoretically where his son will coach when he is done. So establishing a family legacy at Chapel Hill is not something any of us had on the table for his next job, but there it is.
One more text. Lawrence and Matt, Packers, I want their O-line coach and talent evaluator who decides what O-line to draft. I feel you on that.
Yeah.
I feel you
on that. Oh, yeah, man, the Bears have been horrendous at offensive line evaluation these last 3 years.
Yeah, they've been it's been a problem. Another problem is I'm going to put myself in it even though I've only been here for a couple of months. We never get invited to the company Christmas party.
No, they always have it during this time slot, usually right down the hall, so we go down and grab a piece of pizza during the commercial break.
They're not
break.
Even doing that for us,
though. They're across the street.
They're at Millennium Park.
They're ice skating as a group, having festive, joyful times with drinks and foods and blades, which doesn't sound really smart.
No, it does not. It really doesn't. But people are seemingly having a good time. So we sent Shane. He is there right now. So we're going to take a break. We're going to establish contact with him. He's going to let us know what we're missing at the company holiday party. Who's hooking up with whom? Who's drunk? Who looks like they're the lead singer of Sublime? Chad Feldman. We're going to do all of that next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
We had a Christmas party, a holiday party on Monday night. Don't necessarily want to go to a holiday party after a loss like that, but we had a lot of guys show up, and a lot of people in the organization really appreciated that. Could have stayed home and felt sorry for themselves. They didn't.
There's a lot to be thankful for.
Oh, man.
Whether you're Mark Trestman or Matt Eberflus.
I guess so. Thank God everybody came to the party. Thank God that whole Bears team, they got along and they probably went home and were good dinner cooks and husbands and everything. I want to know if Shane is ice skating right now at the holiday party across the street. We're not invited.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
We got you.
Okay, so the idea was to come over here and ice skate. But apparently, Odyssey only paid for one segment of ice skating, and that was at the start of the party. So I got over here, I got my wristbands, I tried to go out here. See, I'm in the thing, and the ice skating rink is right back there. But they wouldn't let me skate. They hated to see me skate. They couldn't do it. So I got a whiskey ginger instead, and I'm just here at the Christmas party. I hope you guys are having a good time back there. We got everyone. There's Kevin Cassidy. There's our promo team. There's a Christmas tree. So I'm happy to provide updates on the 16s or on the 30s from the holiday party if you'd like. But here I am at the party. Hope you guys are having a really good time back there.
What?
But you can see the ice skating rink right back there.
Yeah. Wait, let's see it again here. Like, let's see the ice skating rink that they won't let you. Oh, that's sad, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, the ice skating rink is gorgeous, but we only paid for one session, and that was right at the beginning.
I mean,
so I went in there, my skates, and they're like, no, but you can pay $28. I was like, no, I will not.
I mean, it is like, what, 5 degrees out there with the wind chills?
It's pretty chilly. Yeah. I would love to carve up the ice with these suckers on you.
He actually looks very comfortable having a beverage.
This
right
is
there.
Why I said that he shouldn't worry about coming back here.
I mean, it's late enough in the show.
Yeah, like,
I suppose.
I want Shane to have a good time.
Don't say the F word. We're on the air, Kevin. Market manager Kevin Cassidy just dropped the F-bomb. I hope you didn't hear it too late.
No.
We did not. Was he asking you what the bleep were you doing there?
Yes, that's exactly what he was asking. Yeah, we're on the air, Kevin. I came over here to ice skate and provide holiday party updates. And they wouldn't let me skate.
Ask him why UCLA football is in such disarray.
No, don't ask him about that. But he is dressed for the occasion. I'm liking he's got the red, white, and green going.
Kevin, they want to know who you're wearing.
Oh, God. That's the button. Kevin.
Dolce and Gabbana.
Oh, both of them. Ask Kevin if he can schedule a holiday party sometime when we can actually come to it.
Those shoes are killer. Tell Kevin to put the camera back on those shoes because he is killing in those shoes.
Oh, boy.
But he wants to know if we can schedule a holiday party that we can go to. No, he said no, we cannot schedule it.
Okay, this is the problem. This is the problem when the boss gets on the air is that everybody has to fight to kiss some ass. Yep. I like the legs and the pants.
I'm coming back right now.
No, don't.
I'm coming back, okay?
Don't.
I'm coming back.
Shane, sit there and enjoy your drink. No. We got it covered, man.
No, actually.
I'm coming back.
We do, but.
I need job security right now.
Tanny's. You got plenty of job security. It's all good.
I mean, I guess we are doing a segment in the next segment where we're taking calls.
Oh, yeah, so. We are going to take calls. Yeah, Shane, we're going to need you to come back. Sorry about that.
I get to flex my old call screening skills, which go like this.
No.
Score, what's your name? All right, thanks. You're up.
Oh,
no, it's a party
God.
Here. Grody just walked in back here. So.
Oh, hell yeah.
Totally content with Shane staying back.
What's Grody? Up, Grody? There you go.
So,
see?
So I do wonder if this is something that, like, as you get older, that you're less interested in. Because, like, when we were younger, like,
the holiday party?
Yeah. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
We go all the time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure.
Now, though.
I might still, but it's, I mean, you got to make an appearance. I think
it's a high buy situation for me.
You do what our boss has perfected. The Mitchie Shuffle.
Yes.
I mean, he's a genius at it, and I think we all kind of have, we all evolve to eventually do it, where you show up, you glad hand the few people that you need to, and then you try to sneak out the back door while they're all having a good time.
He disappears.
It's incredible.
You can be in a conversation with Mitch.
Is it the Irish goodbye?
I don't know if we're allowed to say it that way, but yeah, I've heard people, we have to be careful in these times, man.
Not with the Irish. We're fine. We like having that contribution to the culture.
I can't call like when a restaurant catches on fire. I can't use that one. Right? Probably not.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, I won't do that one.
See? You're out here offended people. Poor Brandon. He's out there just minding his own business.
Huh?
But yeah, like,
yeah, an Irish guy just walked by pissed off at being called to say goodbye.
But
Tanny says it's okay. Come on. Yeah. It's like the Italians on The Simpsons. We need something we can still stereotype around these parts.
Like, I don't understand, like, what, don't even say on the air what you think it means? Because I don't think it means what you think it means.
The Irish goodbye?
Yeah, I don't think it's... You make it sound like it's something very nefarious. And
No. He was talking about... He was talking about the other thing with the
lightning.
That
I wouldn't say.
But I just want to be careful because, you know, you start generalizing folks and then all of a sudden it's a whole thing.
I know. Audio ID Kid says there's literally a college team named the Fighting Irish with a leprechaun trying to box. We don't care.
I always tell Mitch that he appropriated the Mitchie Shuffle. That's cultural appropriation.
There were a lot of people when the leprechaun was black that did have a problem with it. There were a lot of people. He's from here, right?
Like the leprechaun?
The first black leprechaun, I believe, was a Chicago guy.
Oh, that's right. There actually was a black leprechaun.
Yeah. And it was a thing. How did it feel to be appropriated? Not good. Right? Didn't feel great.
It's the danger. It is the danger. It's absolutely true.
But yeah, in the olden days when we were young, that is something that... Like, I used to look forward to because we were broke. Wait, we have to take a call.
We have a caller.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hello, caller.
Hello, caller. Mystery caller.
You're on the air. Hello, caller.
Caller, how are you?
Oh, very, very good.
We're good. Hello? How are you?
Yeah, good. Just landed at Midway, and I just want to describe the Mitch Shuffle. It's when, you know, you don't want to be rude, but it kind of is being rude, and you don't want to stay, and just you're going to the bathroom, but you never come back. So it is officially the Mitch Shuffle. And, Steve, you do have to be careful, you know, these days. So yes. And I am married to an Irish woman, so you can say the Irish goodbye. That's okay. But other things you were about to say,
yes.
As Les would say, the late Les, dump it.
Dump them.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I won't mention the Holocaust. No matter what, I'll make sure.
Don't do that.
Steve, dump it.
Are you going to make it to the party?
No. Lawrence, no. I just got in town, got a couple days away, a little holiday, but no, I will not make it. I did hear Shane's report. Most importantly, any injuries? Has anybody fallen and can't get up or anything?
That's a great question.
I don't think so, because I think they were only allowed to skate for 2 minutes before they shut it down. Yeah. So I don't think anyone got hurt.
Well, that's the Odyssey way, Lawrence. Yes. 2 minutes and shut it down.
Reminds me when we threw a party in college and we advertised there would be hors d'oeuvres there, we made one frozen pack of pigs in the blanket and walked them around really fast just to show people that was an option. Briefly.
Wait, was
very
one
interesting.
Was one of the... all of it's starting to like come together now, but...
Yes.
Was hang one up on this caller.
No. Was one of the Christmas parties when we got the White Sox and you were in a White Sox uniform?
Yes, real quick. I probably look like an overweight Babe Ruth, which is accurate. Paul Agassi and I dressed in White Sox uniforms. Vinny, what was the White Sox clubhouse manager's name? Vinny Fresso?
Yes.
You guys remember his name? So, yes, I went over and said, I need a favor. Can we have White Sox uniforms? So he gave us uniforms. One was three sizes too small for me. So you mentioned pigs in the blanket. That's what I look like. Agassi wore one that was size appropriate. And I think it was the Chop House or Kinsey Street Steakhouse, Lawrence.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Kinsey Street Chop market? House, yes.
Correct. So, yeah, we thought we would be cute, and we walked in, and we looked like Abbott and Costello walking in White Sox uniforms, and it was the first year that we had the White Sox. That is correct, Lauren.
All right. Well,
and the next year, Mitch was the Michael Jackson impersonator.
Ixnay. I'm going to do the Mitch Shuffle now. Have a great show. See you guys tomorrow.
See you later. Mitchie out. Always topical.
Our guy, Mitch Rosen.
It is the boss.
All right. Well, that was fun to have Shane go over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he had a good time and at least had one drink.
Yeah, we'll see if he gets back in time to screen calls for the next segment.
I think he just got in.
Oh, outstanding. Good hustle.
Well, we want to talk to you about your Bears hurt.
And we also will talk to you about the Garrett Crochet trade later in the hour as well.
If you missed what we were doing at the top of the show, and by the way, it looks like Bill Belichick's the new coach at North Carolina.
Crazy sports day.
It's pretty nuts. Yar, we will talk about the Bears next on The Score.